and to know and believe in my heart that the Lord is present with us also. That's what means everything. Amen. I, too, am still greatly impressed by the service last Sunday, and a lot of wonderful things took place. And I know Brother Mick would just have a lot of amens to say regarding all the good things that have been happening. And see, the Lord put his, as strange as it may seem to some people, the Lord put his blessing on this whole situation. And a lot of people have been touched by it. I do have, I want to say that it's kind of amazing, but none of the speakers, myself included, remembered to put the lavalier on. It was hanging way over here, but it picked up perfectly. And very good quality, very good sound quality, all three speakers. And I have seven of the tapes with me. We already sent three out to certain people that we knew would want them. How many here want a copy of last Sunday's tape? I guess I better run another 20 or so. And I'll run another 20 or so. I'd like to give Sister Pat about a dozen of them because she'll probably have places she has to or want to send them to. And so we'll get those run off. I do have seven, so if you're just really anxious to hear it, I know Dan and Sally probably would like to have one. I just am guessing here. And Tim, you were here, I believe, for the service. Yeah, there were so many people, I just had to make sure. Okay, if people were not here and want one, I'll give those out to them first. And other than that, I'll make a lot of duplicates. By Sunday, we'll have it. The Lord is good. He's helping me to catch up with all the work. I haven't had a day off in 3.5 weeks. It's been every day, and I'm still going. It's like the Duracell. This is better than that, though. Just keep going, keep going. Praise the Lord. And it's the power of the Lord that helps me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to handle it. But praise God. Here we are. And we're near the end of the world. We're nearer than we were last Sunday because that's the direction we're headed. Amen. I believe that. There's not much time left. We're right down to the wire, as the old saying goes. What I'd like to do is pray, and then we will go into Isaiah chapter 23 and continue right on with our series. Amen. Father in heaven, we are so thankful to be here tonight, and we thank thee for thy many blessings, for all of thy goodness, grace, and mercy, for the leading of thy Spirit, for thy direction, even in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We thank thee, Lord, that we can follow thy lead, that we can take hold of thy promises, and I pray tonight that thou wouldst revive us in the Spirit. Lift us up, O God, in the power of the Holy Ghost, we pray. Let thy will be done, let thy word and thy will be accomplished within us. And help us, Lord, to be attentive to the hearing of thy word and to the obedience of it. O Lord, I pray that thou wouldst smite every devil, every unclean spirit, every force of darkness, every evil principality and power, everything that would exalt itself against thee and thy people, thy word and thy kingdom. O Lord, I pray that the mighty sword that thou hast put within our hand would be used this night in faith, that thou wouldst help us to fight the good fight of faith. We ask it in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 23. And I know I started this the last time we were in Isaiah. But I'm backing all the way up to verse 1 because I think it's the thing to do. Amen. Now, when we get to the 24th chapter, the 24th chapter is going to tell us about the end of the world. I don't know how far we will get tonight. We don't want to rush anything. But when you start studying the 24th chapter, you will see the amazing prophecy that fits our day perfectly. I should say our day fits the prophecy. But we're going to start in, first of all, with the 23rd chapter, the first verse. And here we will see parallels to an ancient city and to this country that we live in. This ought to help us. I mean, this builds my faith. This tells me God is true. Let God be true and every man be a liar, the Bible says. Amen. His word is true. And what he said would come to pass is coming to pass before our very eyes. And what should that do to us? That ought to rattle our cage a little bit. That ought to make us think. That ought to make us appreciate the Spirit of God and salvation and knowing the time in which we live. And we're not ignorant of this, but that we have knowledge of it. Amen. We are very near the shore right now. Praise God. All kinds of things are happening. It's kind of interesting. We've got a little skirmish on our hands there. You know, this nation tries to police the whole world. And if you thought there were terrorist incidents before, just wait until this thing gets going, because I'm referring to this little war, this shoot 'em up over there in Iraq. Because the only way those people know how to fight back is to put bombs on airplanes and now just have faith, Carol. We're flying out to New York in 3 weeks, 3 weeks from tomorrow. And all you have to remember is, just if somebody comes up to you and says, "I've got so much luggage I can't carry this. Would you put this on the plane for me?" Tell them no. Tell them no and get out of there. So we're going out to New York. We've got a job to do. We're going to do some praying and binding spirits and do some spiritual warfare at the UN and at the headquarters of the CFR, the Harold Pratt Building, and we're going to stand in front of those places, a number of other places too, and bind spirits and ask the Lord to bring swift judgment upon them. Amen. Some would say, isn't that asking a lot? Well, I don't know. The Bible tells us to swing the sword. Amen. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So, we're going to try. And we're going to believe. Amen. So we've got a big job to do. Be praying for us. And really, the flight, that's the least of the problems. You know, that should be nothing. That's minor. Amen. Don't worry about the airplane. So anyway, I'm just saying that to all of the... Well, Arnie, doesn't bother him. Carol, I'm sure, is braver than she looks. And my wife is a seasoned traveler. Sort of. We've been up and down a few times, but we are looking forward to going out and ministering there. Amen. We'll be gone about a week, so that happens 3 weeks from tomorrow. It's getting close. Amen. But we are having all kinds of little problems in the world, and it's kind of interesting how 13 days before Friday the 13th here, they decided to go in, meaning Saddam Hussein, decided to go in and attack the Kurds. You know where Kurdistan is, don't you? You know your geography? It's a kind of an indefinite border on the thing. It's kind of shaped like a peanut as far as the land turns sideways. Anyway, it encompasses part of Turkey and a little part of Syria, Iraq, and a little bit of Iran. So it's right kind of in the middle of four borders there. And they have been fighting amongst each other for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. They have tribal chieftains. They all fight. They attack each other all the time. Well, one of the chieftains said to Saddam Hussein, "Come and help me attack this other one." And so they had this little shoot 'em up. And so Bill Clinton took the opportunity to go in and start having target practice with the cruise missiles. But what they're not telling you is that this time, it's not like it was when it was Kuwait. This time, the entire Arab world, the entire Muslim world is opposed to what's being done, what has been done, what's being done. In fact, they had to fly in from Guam in order to do the job. When they launched the planes, even the European, the NATO allies have condemned it. Everybody's condemned it, the action. It's kind of interesting what's happening here. But what it will do is it will stir up a lot of terrorism. And when you've got a lot of terrorism, the only way you can combat that, they will tell you, is we have to tighten security everywhere. We will have to monitor all telephones. We'll have to do spot checks. We may even have to search your home, see if there's anyone named Omar living there. Huh? All right? The purpose of it is to invade into the very depth, the last little bit of privacy that you may have had. That's really, it's not about internationalism. It's not about any of those things. It's about bringing forth a one-world government and absolute control and surveillance of all the people all the time. Since you can't fool all the people all the time, you have to go with trying to control all the people all the time. If you can fool people, you don't have to control them really, because they're really under the control of your ability to con them and to fool them. But if they don't go for it, you can force this upon them. Now, we all have to pay, next time we want to go for a flight somewhere, we have to pay a tax because they had to bring in all these billions of dollars of equipment. So they said, we got to buy all this equipment so we can check the luggage and x-ray everything and really find anything that might be in there that would explode. Well, instead of doing that, now that they've got the tax in place, they decided to go with dogs. They're much cheaper. So you might say that this country is going to the dogs. And they're going to sniff out all the luggage. They say they can sniff out the plastic explosives and so forth. All right? Isn't that dandy? Yeah, that'd buy quite a few dogs. Uh-huh. They can feed them Alpo for that. But yeah, it's amazing what's going on. But with this, what's happening is the Arab world and the Muslim world, I should say, is uniting because of this. This is the other thing that is really a little bit unnerving. These people are half crazy to start with because they're Muslim. And all of them have one thing in common. They face Mecca and say, "There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet." And they'll chant this over and over and over and over again. And they're totally sold out to Allah. They're very violent people. In fact, the Turkish Muslims, if they draw their knife or their sword, cannot put it away unless there's blood on it. And if there's nobody else's blood on it, it has to be their own. But it has to have blood on it before they can put it away. That's the kind of people they are. And it's uniting these people. The Arabian Muslims have condemned. The Kuwaitis have condemned the action, if you can imagine that. Everybody's condemning it. But Clinton is doing this because it's in the plan. And it's going to stir up terrorism, and it's going to unite the Islamic people. And that is exactly what Albert Pike wrote to Giuseppe Mazzini. He said they were going to take the nihilists and the atheists, and they were going to put them against the Muslim world and united Christendom, so-called. And at the end, they're going to have a big social and worldwide cataclysm. In other words, a big blow-up. And from that, what rises from the remains of that, they said, would be the New World Order. Remember how George Bush said, if Syria will behave itself, they can be in our New World Order? We'll let them in if they behave themselves. Arrogant, proud, haughty, and with an agenda. Thank God we're not a part of that system. If you're a part of the Antichrist system, you're going to fall into place somewhere in there, and you will have the same curse upon you that they have upon them. We are not a part of that system. We're called out. Amen. And thank God we can open our Bibles and study what we're going to study tonight, and we can understand prophecy and what it's telling us. Oh, meanwhile, there's another little shaky situation. We've got this big hurricane coming against the Carolinas, headed right for Charleston. And it has now been upgraded to a class 4, level 4 hurricane. 130-mile-an-hour winds. It's a vast one. They said it's a huge and a dangerous storm. And it's headed right for Charleston. Now, what is Charleston? Why is that so significant? That is the headquarters for the southern jurisdiction of the Masonic Lodge. Maybe it'll carry that big house of the temple there and drop it off somewhere off Cape Hatteras or somewhere. Just pick it up and just throw it. Amen. Well, praise God. Keep praying. But that's where that big thing is headed, right for it. Just zeroed right in on it. Amen. That'll take care of a few aprons, won't it? Well, thank God. So all kinds of exciting things are happening. I don't know what's going to happen the next, but see, all of these witches out there, these witch covens, they take all this very seriously. They're out, and this is an election year, so they're very busy anyway, casting all these spells. You and I can't imagine this because we're somewhat normal. And we can't imagine people standing in circles and invoking spirits at night in the full moon and under the trees. You and I would say, well, they're nuts. But they don't think so, and they do it. And they're trying to invoke power, and it does have a rippling effect across the country. All across the nation, there is a strange vibration. People in motion, people in motion. Friday the 13th is coming up. They're busy. They're working on all this stuff. They do it. Whether you disregard it or not, they're busy at it. And they take it very seriously, and so do the wicked spirits that work with them. And that's what makes it significant, the fact that they believe in it. I look at it as stupidity. Anybody who is stupid enough to be a witch is asking for trouble. But they do it. So we have to understand what we're fighting against, and the Bible condemns all that they're doing. So let's take hold of the Word of God and do what's right and fight against these things. But I think the timing is amazing they went into Kurdistan there and started that little attack, which started this whole thing going exactly 13 days before Friday the 13th. Well, it's kind of a countdown with them, you know. And of course, we also have the Sabbath, Witches' Sabbath of the autumnal equinox, just a little bit later this month. So a number of things taking place, and then of course you head toward Halloween. So just pray that the Lord will knock some sense into their head. Amen. Either repent or get them out of the way, one or the other. Now, that was all introductory. Isaiah chapter 23. See, I just was talking about some things that I knew you were interested in. I like to answer the questions before you ask them, you see. I always say, as Brother Mick used to say, I've got the right answer, you just have to ask the right question, that's all. I learned that from him. All right. Isaiah chapter 23, verse 1 says, the burden of Tyre, which incidentally is the source of the word tyrant. You know what a tyrant is? A dictatorial power that takes control, that seizes upon the control of the people. The burden of Tyre. Howl ye, ships of Tarshish, for it is laid waste, so that there is no house, no entering in. From the land of Chittim it is revealed to them. Be still, ye inhabitants of the isle, thou whom the merchants of Zidon that pass over the sea have replenished. What's he talking about here? The cities of Tyre and Sidon, which are on the Mediterranean Sea in the area of what is now Lebanon. And these two cities were the commerce centers of the world at that time. They had a lot of wealth. They were engaged in the shipping business. And they brought in all kinds of merchandise from abroad. And they would export, import-export center. And they became fabulously wealthy, these two ancient cities. Much like New York is today. The shipping port of the world. Anyway, it says, and by great waters, the seed of Sihor, the harvest of the river, is her revenue, and she is a mart of the nations. A mart of the nations. You didn't know the word mart was in the Bible, did you? Like Kmart. Remember we said this must be Z-mart, Zidon. Zidon mart. It was everything was going on there. People from, it had every race they could find was coming in there, getting involved. It was a melting pot. It was a place of all kinds of finance and money. So usually you think of these ancient people as being a bunch of num-nums handing brass coins to each other. But they were a lot smarter than you give them credit for. And they were very, very tricky, crafty people when they were serving the devil. See, we have to understand something. Ancient people were not stupid. They just didn't have all the conveniences we have. In fact, they did better with what they had than we do with what we have, I think. And you get thinking about it, they were just not a bunch of cave people, you know, that go over and to find a wife, they club her over the head and grab her by the hair and haul her home, you know. That wasn't that kind of thing at all. That's just in your, and that's when you go to public school, you learn that stuff, see. You know, that's how you get dumb. You study to be dumb. Well, I got a few amens. You really do. The longer you go to school, the dumber you get, because you get all of this misinformation, and you start to build a whole scenario and think you have it all figured out, and it's all wrong. But that's on purpose. Who ever heard tell of people thinking a man came from a monkey anyway? You know who they had a lot of trouble making, they're trying to teach us, you know who they couldn't make believe that? They get all these people in the schools when they started teaching evolution in this country. Back in they started doing it in the late 30s. Once Roosevelt got in, everything went downhill. But they started teaching it, and these kids were enthralled with the pictures of the Piltdown Man, Cro-Magnon Man, what have you, Neanderthal Man, and all these other characters. And they drew all these pictures, and they taught this in the schools, but the children that would not believe it were the farm children. The farmers, they couldn't make them believe it. The city kids were so stupid, you could tell them anything, you know. Oh, well, the school said so. Teacher said so. Teacher said so. And who donated the books? Rockefeller Foundation. Huh? In order to brainwash and indoctrinate all these people and teach them the wrong things. And children are very impressionable. And from little on up, they gave them misinformation all the way through. And pretty soon, you created a new race of people. Misinformed people. Remember Lenin? Give me just one generation of youth and I'll transform the entire world. And who was behind it all? In 1950, the Masons said that Providence has ordained that the great American public school is the training ground for the people of the New Age. I've got an article on it, right out of New Age magazine. It's the Masons that were pushing this in order to bring forth a New Age. We have to create a new race of people ready to hear us, to do whatever we tell them. Boy, have they done it. And it takes the grace of God to get somebody out of it. Nothing but the grace of God will do it. Amen. It takes His power to lift you out. Otherwise, you're just going to be floundering around there with the common herd of people that are all, they've had their brain in a mixmaster. So praise God. If you're not in that condition, you need to thank Him every day. Amen. Okay. So we have these cities of Tyre and Sidon, these seaport financial centers, and let's see how the Lord looks at it. It says in verse 4, "Be thou ashamed." Well, they were anything but that. They were proud. Look at all the money we made. Look at the shipping business we've got. Look at all the accomplishments, the buildings we've built, the fleets that we've sent out. But he says, "Be thou ashamed, O Zidon, for the sea hath spoken." Now they always claim the sea is what made their money for them. "The sea hath spoken, even the strength of the sea, saying, I travail not, nor bring forth children, neither do I nourish up young men, nor bring up virgins." Well, that's quite a boast, isn't it? No wonder the Lord said, "Be thou ashamed." Be thou ashamed, as Brother Mick would say, shame, shame, shame. Amen. Be thou ashamed. They're saying the sea is crying out and bearing witness against them, because they're saying, "I travail not." It echoes from the sea. You see, the sea is giving testimony back to them. They worshiped the sea. They had all kinds of gods that they worshipped out there. Poseidon, remember the Greeks, how they worshipped Poseidon? They had other names for the same one, the god of the sea, King Neptune, who would be seen to rise out of the sea with all these dolphins, you know, bouncing around him and everything. You know the stories. They taught that in public school, too. Do you ever wonder why they taught all this mythology, all these gods and goddesses in the school? We had to learn that. We had to learn about the Norse gods, and we had to learn about the Greek gods and goddesses, and all of those, that nonsense. Why? That information had to be in there for the time when you would be programmed to be a de facto witch. You got to know who the gods and goddesses are. That's why you had to learn that. They knew what they were doing. And of course, you know, they would say, but then this is just legend, and this is just what they believed, and so it's not, it's harmless, you see. It's all just harmless. Oh no, they did a number on you. You may not realize it, but you were programmed, and so was I. And as I said, it takes the power of God to deprogram that out of you. Amen. Ruth? Sure, sure. And now it's all life from outer space. Right? Oh, yes, there is life on Mars, and there's life on one of the moons on Jupiter, because there was water there. And, of course, where there's water, there's life, right? That's what they said. They said, because there was water there, there must be life. Now, am I missing something here? Water is inorganic. There's water all over the, you know, Pluto, the planet Pluto, has 35 miles thick an ice belt around it, all the way surrounding the whole planet. Is there life out there? Boy, it's getting interesting, isn't it? Now, there are wicked spirits out there. You can be sure of that. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to say that we have got a great discovery here. As a matter of fact, remember this, who was that campaign manager that was fired for being caught with a $200 an hour prostitute? Lawrence. Yeah. Yeah, that great pillar of morality, right? And of course, he was talking to Bill Clinton from time to time, and just to impress this prostitute, he was letting her listen in on the conversations. And he told her, in order to impress his prostitute, that he had information that only seven people in the world knew about, and that is where the life was out there in outer space. That he knew it, and now she, I wonder why he was trying to impress her. What was he after? You know, I'm not trying to be graphic or anything, but the guy had apparently a hollow head. But that so often happens with men that chase prostitutes. They have a hollow head. They don't think. Their brain is in neutral. But what you've got going here is, and you get this in the newspaper, and it came across Reuters News Service, but all these discoveries that something's going on out there, and they're going to come down and start a new world order. Lynn Ann gave me a paper. I didn't get a chance to read it yet, but it says in there that Noah's Ark was built by space aliens. But no, it wasn't. Noah was out there building it with his sons. Ruth? Well, that wouldn't put it past me, because the Piltdown Man that they made, you know, the caveman? The Piltdown Man, they found a tooth, just a tooth. And they made this whole man around it. They said if the tooth looked like this, then it had to be set in a jawbone that looked like this, and they made that. And if that jaw had to fit onto to a skull, then it had to look like this. And they just all imagination, and they put this whole man together from a tooth. Can you imagine that? And they said, now this is the, I forgot which Piltdown man it was. Yeah, it was a Piltdown man from the tooth. And then upon further investigation, they discovered it was the tooth of a pig. Then they found a skull. They found this skull out there. They dug it up. They said, oh, now we've got it. This is the missing link. See, they keep trying to find the missing link because the missing link is missing. See? And these people that get into talking about the missing link, oh, the missing link, the missing link. Well, what about it? I mean, it's missing. There's nothing to talk about. But anyway, they found this skull, and they said, this is nothing like any human, you know, this skull. And they examined it, and oh, now we've got them. Now we've got our missing link. Well, another a zoologist came along, and he looked at the thing and said, that's an elephant's kneecap. Now, these guys are always trying to find these things. They make these big discoveries, and it's all bogus. It's all phony. And they find these skulls of some primate out there, some gorilla or something, and they say, here's the missing link. And it's got the same skeletal structure as a Russian delegate to the peace conference. But anyway, what they do is they found one time, and they looked at it, and they said, this really is something. Because it doesn't have a ridge, a cranial ridge. See, all animals, if you feel your dog or cat or anything on the top of the head, they'll have a little ridge along here, cranial ridge. And that makes them an animal instead of a human. You see, they all have that ridge. Humans don't have it. Now, you better check to see if you got one. But humans don't have it. So they found this real strange-looking thing. Now, don't pat your wife on the head. No. But they found this strange-looking thing, and they said, this is not really like any modern human being. And it was found over in England somewhere. And it didn't have a ridge. And so what they did is they took it to the university, and oh, now we've got it. This is absolute proof. Until another researcher looked at it with and magnified it quite a number of times and could see where somebody, a scientist, had taken a file and filed the ridge off. You could see the file stroke marks in the top of the skull. That's how scientific they are. See, they've got a religion they have to support. Scientism. It's not science. It's all fudged. It's all fake. It's got to have something that they got to have something to put in the textbooks to keep this lie perpetuated. Well, so much for evolution. There's so many ways to tear that apart. It could take all night. But let's look at this nation back then and compare it to today and look at the parallel. They're saying in verse 4, I travail not, nor bring forth children. What's the big thing today, one of the big problems in our society? Women that rather than travail run off to an abortion clinic and abort their babies. So they can keep their jobs. Isn't that right? Neither do I nourish up young men, nor bring up virgins. They don't raise their children either. Do you realize that as a parent, you have a high call of God upon you to raise your children? And God says, shame on you. Be thou ashamed to a nation that's like that. That first of all kills their children and then doesn't nourish them up. And you know what happens when they don't bring up their children? They're not virgins very long either. Because they learn from the world if they don't learn from their parents. You don't want the world teaching your children. And you don't want your children brought up in front of an idiot lantern either that's going to tell them all the things that are contrary to the Word of God. Everything from the cartoons they watch and the cereal they eat and all the stuff that's on there, it's all brainwashing them. Remember the little blue Smurfs? Papa Smurf and all the little Smurfs and those cute little munchkins or whatever you want to call them. That was real popular with the children. And one time, Papa Smurf, the blue critter with the red hat, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Those little cartoon characters, little Smurfs. Well, Papa Smurf one time had to consult one higher than himself. This was in a cartoon on TV. He had to consult with one higher than himself, and he called upon Azazel. Azazel. Azazel is the goat of Mendez or Baphomet. Azazel is the scapegoat. It is the satanic goat. In other words, Satan himself. That's his higher source. And then to sponsor the program, they had alphabet cereal. You know, the cereal where there's more nutrition in the box than there is in the contents. But they had the children in the commercial pour their alphabet cereal into a bowl of milk and then ask it questions. And in the commercial on TV, they showed these children holding their hands over the bowl of cereal, asking their cereal questions, and the letters would move around to answer the question. That's what you call a liquid-propelled Ouija board. Huh? Teaching the children to do that. Now, how impressionable are children? How would you like to find your child looking into a cereal bowl, asking it questions? But that's exactly what they did. Because they are bidding for the hearts and the minds of the children, knowing that they need them to keep this thing going. They're launching into the next century now. We're old fogies. I'm kind of borderline. I'm a baby boomer, you might say. And there are a number of others here that are. But notice what Bill Clinton is saying. He's saying, Dole is a bridge to the past. He said, this is what Bill Clinton said, I am the bridge to the future. I am the bridge to the 21st century. I am the bridge builder. I will build the bridge over these troubled waters. I wonder what Paul Simon would have to say about that. Paul Simon and Arthur Garfunkel. Now, there's two good Irish names, huh? No, they're right out of the synagogue. And they're out of there with an agenda, too. What is a bridge builder called? Who is the great bridge builder? The pontiff. The word pontiff means bridge builder. You get the word pontoon from that, don't you? So Bill Clinton is now claiming to be a pontiff, a bridge builder into the next century. He will get you from here to there. He is your bridge over these troubled waters. So he thinks. Oh, I could say more. He ought to know, though, with all the dope he smoked and who knows what else he's used, he knows about that bridge, doesn't he? He knows about the bridge over troubled waters. He knows what Paul Simon, one of his very best friends, was singing about. Did you know that Bill Clinton and Paul Simon are like that? Or didn't you know that? I believe that Paul Simon, and I don't know so much about Arthur Garfunkel, but I believe Paul Simon was so used of the devil that he actually wrote songs of prophecy. Remember that song, Who Do You Think You're Fooling? Huh? Did you ever hear that? What's that called, Sandy? What's the name of that? The name of that song, Paul Simon wrote it about when I was just a boy. You know, the devil called my name. Huh? Saying, who do you think you're fooling? And then his mother prayed for him and so forth, but obviously that didn't work because later on Congress called his name and then he became the president with a presidential seal. Huh? And this was long before Bill Clinton would ever be considered to be president. was in the 70s, wasn't it? That song fits him like a hand in a glove. It's all about Bill Clinton and his presidential seal. And who do you think you're fooling? Huh? In other words, there's somebody guiding him, somebody using him. There is a power source behind that man. And there has to be the nation supporting him, so it seems. Of course, you can't always believe those polls, you know. Some of those are just Polish jokes, I think. Huh? So, anyway, but there's some strange things going on. See, Paul Simon wrote that beautiful music, you know. Beautiful in that it does have a mesmerizing effect. And if you ever get the chance to hear it, I don't know how you would do it, but if you ever get a chance to hear that song, Bridge Over Troubled Waters, you'll understand that that's prophecy too, and that's all about Bill Clinton, among others. And now he's claiming to be that bridge. Of course, Paul Simon in his song wrote that the bridge was a heroin needle. So that when you're down and out, and when you're in the street, and no one is your friend, I'll be your friend, I'll take your side, I'll comfort you. And when he gets past the interlude, he gives it away by saying, "Sail on, silver girl. It's time, your time to shine. Yes, your time has come to shine. See how they shine." That's that heroin needle. That's your bridge. When you trip out and get into this other world, this other realm, you cross that bridge over the river Styx, S-T-Y-X, into another realm, the realm of the spirits, the other side. And the time will come when you don't have to return. It's a one-way bridge. Just like Hotel California is a, you can check in, but you can never check out. Remember that song? Hotel California, when was that, Sandy? Yeah, you remember the song, don't you? See, that's what these songs were all about. Hotel California was about the witchcraft that you can get in, but you can never get out. You get into this new age of Aquarius, you'll never get out. That's what the song's about. You check into a hotel, as it were, and you're a permanent guest. Why? Because that Hotel California lies beyond the yellow brick road, doesn't it? That was that queer from England that sang that one. What was his name again? Elton John, yes. This is all part of the conspiracy to mold and shape this new society. And of course, Clinton is now claiming to be the one that you can... He's going to get you over to the next century, see? I'm not looking for that. I am looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to come and make havoc of all their plans. Amen. Let's continue on here. I've got just a little while, so I want to keep going. So they're claiming, well, I don't nourish up young men nor bring up virgins. As at the report concerning Egypt, so shall they be sorely pained at the report of Tyre. Why is Egypt so upset about Tyre? See, this is one nice thing. When God brings forth judgment, it has a domino effect. When he would hit Tyre and Sidon, then Egypt would be affected. Do you realize if God poured out judgment on this country, what a domino effect that would have around the world? If something happened where this economy completely, absolutely collapsed, and it did so because of the hand of God, the Israeli state would collapse because it gets all of its money from the United States. All of it. All of it. That great bastion. 10% of the population are atheist. But that's the chosen race, you see. Now, See, I just want to set the record straight because people are confused on that issue so many times. Pass ye over to Tarshish. Howl, ye inhabitants of the isle. Is this your joyous city, whose antiquity is of ancient days? Her own feet shall carry her afar off to sojourn. God's saying, I am destroying this. It's coming down. Egypt is in trouble because of it. And we'll find out why in a little while. Who hath taken this counsel against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traffickers are honorable, the honorable of the earth? The upper crust hoi polloi people, right? The ones with all the money. The princes. The Lord of hosts hath purposed it. Oh, I like that, because when he purposes something, it gets done. To stain the pride of all glory, and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. And I'm going to tell you something right now. They have fooled people, and the devil has fooled people too long. And I thank God that people are waking up. And that which was done in secret is being shouted from the rooftops. There are people that were Freemasons that came out and exposed it and said, I was there. There are people that were on the inside of this thing that have come out and saying, yes, this is true. You know, for years I've been writing in the newsletter, these people use all of this witchcraft. The government uses witchcraft and astrology. And some people found it hard to believe. And then a woman picked it up one time, picked up a newsletter somebody had sent to her, and called me on the phone and said, she lives in Michigan now, Jackson, Michigan. She said, I worked with Gene Dixon. She said, I was offered a job by the federal government as a full-time astrologer. Huh? She said, what you're writing is absolutely true. She said, I couldn't believe anybody was saying it. It was obvious to me. Here was a person who was involved directly and knew. See, what's happening? People are finding out. They're making mistakes. They're so arrogant and so proud that they're spilling the beans. And we're picking them up and throwing them as far as we can. And people are finding out, aren't they? Some. Yes, some are. Thank God for a remnant. I know it looks hopeless sometimes. There's the vast majority of the people don't even seem to care. What gives me a little hope is once in a while I'll hear from people who say, I thought you were full of nonsense, but these things are starting to happen now. There is just a small remnant, but thank God there is. Amen. Now, the Lord has his hand in this. He's going to bring to pass what he said he would do. He's going to destroy all the pride. He's going to stain the pride. I don't look at these rich leaders, these influential leaders, except with contempt. Can you possibly respect Bill Clinton? Count Taxula? Huh? Putting that 10% tax on the airplanes. Count Taxula, the man who said he never met a tax he didn't like. Count Taxula. It's a horror movie, all right, isn't it? The White House is haunted with Count Taxula and his assistant, Al Gore. Al Gore, where are you, Al Gore? Huh? Pass through thy land as a river, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no more strength. It's all failing, isn't it? He stretched out his hand over the sea. He shook the kingdoms. The Lord hath given a commandment against the merchant city. The merchant city. Do you know what the merchant city is in our day? Start spreading the news. Huh? New York. To destroy the strongholds thereof. You read Revelation chapter 18 and it can be nothing else. I mean, this prophecy has to apply somewhere. And he said, "Thou shalt no more rejoice, O thou oppressed virgin, daughter of Zidon. Arise, pass over to Chittim. There also shalt thou have no rest." Isn't that the case today? People are restless, nervous. Do you know how much medicine people take to calm their nerves? How many times they have to pop the cork and tip the glass? I don't know how some people can sleep at night, and many of them don't. Some of them have such a hard conscience that they don't have any problem. When you got a guy like Rockefeller who can come along and say, "I'm not worried about my reputation, I can buy that back later," then you got somebody like that to deal with, you got trouble. "Behold the land of the Chaldeans. This people was not till the Assyrian founded it for them." See, they were so proud of their land, but they didn't even found it. "That dwell in the wilderness. They set up the towers thereof. They raised up the palaces thereof. And he brought it to ruin. Man builds it up, God knocks it down." How high is he going to let them build this Tower of Babel? I don't know. But just as sure as I'm standing here and you're sitting there, it's coming down. "Howl, ye ships of Tarshish." Tarshish, of course, is Spain, the farthest outpost. "For your strength is laid waste. And it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years. Interesting. Let's read on. "According to the days of one king," in other words, one generation of rule, "after the end of 70 years shall Tyre sing as an harlot." Now that's getting interesting, isn't it? What's going to happen to Tyre? There is going to be a situation that would arise where the city of Tyre would be forgotten. In other words, the emphasis would move elsewhere. Remember, Satan was the king of Tyre in Ezekiel 28? But the emphasis switched somewhere else for a generation, didn't it? I think this is rather unique, because when Jesus came, he smote the king of Tyre. And the power of God was everywhere as the apostles went forth and preached. But something happened with Tyre. Its deadly wound was healed and came forth again. Now watch what happens. "Take an harp, go about the city, thou harlot that hast been forgotten. Make sweet melody, sing many songs, that thou mayest be remembered." In other words, trying to attract attention and rebuild the status that it once had. Verse 17, "And it shall come to pass after the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre, and she shall turn to her hire and shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth." Don't we read in Revelation about that very thing? That a beast system would rise up. A beast that was smitten on the cross. A Satan that was dealt a deadly wound to the head. But that after a time would rise up again in the last days. One more time. And then ultimately be destroyed. It says in verse 18, "And her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord." Now understand what holiness means here. It means separated apart from. The word holy means to be separate. To be separated from. Separated from what? Sin? Evil? "And her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord." Now watch this. "It shall not be treasured nor laid up, For her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord to eat sufficiently and for durable clothing. They've amassed all this wealth and all this power, but when God gets going on this thing and begins to smite that system, who ends up with the blessing? Huh? The people of God, the remnant. Look at Egypt. Look at God's people in there. When they left Egypt, they left wealthy. They took all the treasures of Egypt. They borrowed from their neighbors, just gave it all to them, remember? And they took off with it. They left. See, they amassed all this wealth and power and influence and all. It's going to come to naught. It's the remnant people that are going to stand up and shine in the power of God. And in the end, you win. Thank God for that. See, what we got to do, what we have to remember to do is read the back of the book. See? And you come out the winner. That helps. If you read that, it's easy to read the rest of it. So I hope I can just leave this short message with you to think about. You're going to win this battle. Don't worry about all awful things coming and all these things like that. You'll get through it. Amen. By faith. They that put their trust in the Lord shall never be ashamed, the Bible says. Because it's this evil system that's wrong. If we're in the right and God is with us, as the Apostle Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? That gives me great faith. And I don't think we're very far from seeing these things come to pass. All the Lord has to do is send a little hurricane through and he can rip out cities. Huh? What happens when he starts to shake the earth and begins to crack apart? Things begin to fall into it. When the heavens shall depart as a scroll, you might think, oh, this is scary stuff. You get into the Spirit of God, you begin to welcome it because you realize this world is not your home anyway. There's a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and there aren't going to be any Rothschilds, Rockefellers, or any of the other goofballs involved in this thing anymore. Amen. No unclean thing shall enter in. But right now we're in a very tough time, and it's going to take a lot of faith and a lot of fortitude and a lot of prayer to get through it, but we can do it. Amen. Aren't you glad? Amen. Hallelujah. Stand with me if you would. Amen. We're going to have a closing prayer and sing a couple of choruses, and then we'll be dismissed unto prayer. Amen. So when I dismiss you, it's always unto prayer. Always remember to pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, we are thankful tonight. Thankful, O Lord, that we can embrace thy word and lay hold upon eternal life. I pray, Lord, that thou wouldst strengthen our faith exceedingly. Help us, O Lord, I pray, to be always ready for thy soon coming. I pray that thou wouldst lead us and direct us in thy holy way. Strengthen our faith that we might fight the good fight of faith that's before us. Guide and direct thy people. Bless them, I pray. Bring us together, I ask, once again at the appointed time, according to thy will. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you want to be seated, that's fine. We're going to sing some choruses here and then...